Okay, Rabosai. Let's go again to the Mishnah and Daf Chaf Bet Amud Bet. Says Hakol Kshirim Lichtavas Haget Afilu Chirashota VeKatan, which is what we are going to be talking about. Ha'isha Kosev says Gita VeIsh Kosev Shovrosh Inki Maget Ella BeChosma. It doesn't matter who writes it, as long as it is signed or witnessed by the right people. V'Halavnei Daninu Amar Rav Huna V'Hushi Yagadol Omed Al Gabav. Which was the first explanation, according to Rabbi Elazar, lechora. Of course, there's lechora, not like the re, of how a chirashot could write lishma, even though they don't have das. Okay, and later on in this Gemara, we have Rabbi Hudam Rishmol Amr Hushashir Makom Toref. So first, we said we just have to get down pshat in this sugya. Remember, we had on the board at the end of the last year three explanations how the chirashot and katan could write. If they don't have das, the second one was, it doesn't really matter the order, was that this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, who doesn't really care who writes it, he only cares who signs it. Okay, in that case, there's not really any lumdus to talk about here. According to Rabbi Meir, we don't care who writes it. As we know, you can find it in the garbage and sign it, and that's good enough. But according to Rabbi Elazar, here we have two interesting possibilities, which are that we Gadol Amal Al Gabav makes it Lashma, or that they only write the Tofes, which is not so important, and a Gadol writes the Toref Lashma. The question is, what does Rav Huna think about the Tofes and the Toref, and what does Rav Yehuda or Shmuel, we'll call it Rav Yehuda, we can call it Shmuel, we'll call it Rav Yehuda, we'll call it Rav Yehuda for the sake of simplicity, think about Gadol Omed Al Gabav? So here, this is a big mess. There's many in the Rishonim. Let us just start with Rav Huna. What does Rav Huna hold? There are three possibilities what Rav Huna holds. One is the most makel possibility, which is the Ramban thinks Rav Huna holds this. It could be that maybe some other Rishonim also, it's not so clear. Many of the Rishonim are not clear, but the Ramban thinks that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are not arguing. They're arguing on okimtas. Meaning Rav Huna says, let's put this okimta in the Mishnah. And Rav Yehuda says, let's put that okimta in the Mishnah. But they're not arguing a din. They both admit that if Gadol Omen Al Gabav, that's good enough. And they both admit that even without Gadol Omen Al Gabav, if they only write the Tofes and leave the Toref for an adult, that's good enough. They just argue which okimta they prefer to make in the Mishnah. So says the Ramban, he says either Gadol Omed Al Gabav or Shir Toref is good enough. That is the Ramban. The middle possibility is the opinion of the I don't remember who we had on the Makor sheet, but it's the Rashba and the Ritva and the first day of the Ran, where the Ran says something like Lachora, it seems like. And the Rush thinks the Rif holds this, and the Magnisha thinks the Ramam holds this. It doesn't matter. Neither of them think the Ramam and the Rif Paskin like Rav Huna. So it's sort of up in the air with the Ramam and Rif Paskin like Rav Yehuda. It's up in the air what they hold about Rav Huna. But let's say the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran in his first day, and the Rif, according to the Rush, not that he paskins this way, just that he interprets Rav Huna this way, and the Rambam, according to the Magid Mishnah, not that he paskins that way. He says, it only depends on Gadol Omed Al Gabav, meaning there's no difference between Tofes and Toref. He does not agree to this idea that we differentiate between Tofes and Toref. Tofes and Toref are exactly the same thing. He says what he meant. It meant what he said. If Gadol Omed Al Gabav, it's kosher. And if it's not Gadol Omed Al Gabav, it's pasul. He makes no differentiation between Tofes and Toref. Of course, the third possibility, Rav Huna, is the Shita of the Ravid in his Hasaga on the Rif, which is also quoted as a Yesh Mepharsha by the Ramban, who hates this opinion. And the Ran and the Beis Yosef think that The Rambam holds this way. So this is the Ravid is the only one who actually holds this way. The Yesh Mefarshim, the Ramban, that the Ramban absolutely does not like whatsoever. He does not like it on exegetical grounds or on conceptual grounds. And the Rambam, Lifi, the Ran, which we saw, and the Beis Yosef. Okay, if you want to look up the Beis Yosef, it's not in the Kefir Mishnah. But if you look up the Beis Yosef, he says it's also quoted by the Lecha Mishnah on the side of the Rambam. It doesn't really matter. What does he say? He said, no. You need Gadol Omed Al Gabav and Shir Toref, meaning Rav Huna was relying on the fact that Rav Yehuda would also say his piece. Okay, the Ramban, besides its conceptual problem, has an exegetical problem with this. How can you say Rav Huna was relying on Rav Yehuda when Rav Huna came first? But this is the most machmir shita. I mean, when Rav Huna says Gadol Omed Al Gabav, that's only good enough for the Tofes. But for the Toref, you need an adult mamish. Gadol Omed Al Gabav is not good enough. So Gadol Omed Al Gabav, Rav Huna says, good enough to write the Tofes, but of course he has to leave the Toref, and an adult has to write the Torah. Three shitas within Rav Huna. How about within Rav Yehuda? There are the same exact three shitas in a parallel sense within Rav Yehuda, right? So one opinion, and the simple pshat is we pass like Rav Yehuda. The Rashba brings a big debate. Simple pshat is that we pass like Rav Yehuda. From the Rambam. So one pshat is that Rav Yehuda is, and this is Rashi, I think is very clearly implying this. Rashi says about Rav Yehuda, give me a second. Rashi says, who should shear makma toref, the custom and dasa toref, lo boy lo okum, shall go to Lomel al Gabav, lo okum Rav Meir. He doesn't want to say our mission is Rav Meir, and he doesn't want to make the okimta of go to Lomel al Gabav. What does Rashi imply? He could have made the okimta of go to Lomel al Gabav. He just didn't want to make that okimta, but he could have. That sounds like Gadol Omed Al Gabav would work even on the whole thing. And even without Gadol Omed Al Gabav, he can write the Tofes. And this is, that's what Rashi sounds like. And the Meiri also interprets Rav Yehuda this way. And the Rif, Lifi, sorry. The Sefer has Chos and the Ram. The Sefer has Chos, I know, is the Ramban, but he seems to have a slightly different shot in the Rif, and the Sefer has Chos than his Chedush Ramban. It could be changed mind about the Rif. Says, either Gadol Omed Al Gabav, and then you could write the whole thing, or, no, do it without a Gadol Omed Al Gabav, and just do the Tofes and leave the Torah, and that's good enough. So Rav Yehuda is saying either way is good enough. Okay, that is one possibility. could be the Ramban and Rashi hold this as well. The middle possibility is parallel. It's not the same. It's parallel. And this is what the Ramban in his Chidushim says in the Rif and what the Ritva says in the first pshat in the Ran. In his first pshat and the Rif. Lifi. Chidushi Ramban, he says it only depends on the Toref, meaning Gadol Omed Al Gabav is lo mal of lo morid, according to this pshat. Gadol Omed Al Gabav makes no difference whatsoever. Rabbi Yehuda completely and utterly rejects the idea of Gadol Omed Al Gabav. He says it only depends whether he writes the Torah or he leaves out the Torah. If he writes the Torah, it's Pasul, with or without Gadol Omed Al Gabav. If he leaves out the Torah, it's Pasher, with or without Gadol Omed Al Gabav. And the third possibility is the most machmer possibility, right? And this is the Rambam, the Rif, according to most Rishonim, that's the Pashup shot in the Rif, the Yad Ramah, quoted by the Rush, the Ravid, the Yesh Mefarshim in the Ramban. What do they say? I think I have everyone here. They say, nope, you need both.
you need Shir Toref, and also Gadol Omed Al Gabav. Okay, if someone wonders why I didn't put the Shita of the Ramban himself and the Rashba in Rabbi Yehuda, it's because it's not clear. They definitely reject three. It's not clear if they hold one or four. I couldn't find explicit in the Ramban and Rashba whether they held the most makel pshat in Rabbi Yehuda or the middle pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, if you think you have a diuk, then please feel free to share with me. Doesn't really make a difference. There's plenty we showed them on all sides. So here we have Justin interpreting the Gemara. We're not sure where Huna holds. We're not sure where Yehuda holds. In the end, we have four shitas, right? In the end, we have four shitas. The most makel shita, which is that if Gadol Amel Gabav, they can write the whole thing. And even now, Gadol Amel Gabav, they can write the Tofes, just leave the Toref. That's shita one. The two middle shitas, shita two, it makes no difference what part they write. They just need Gadol Amel Gabav. Or shita four, it makes no difference than Gadol Amel Gabav. They just can write the Tofes, but they're not allowed to write the Toref. And then the most machmer shita, shita three, they need to have a Gadol Amel Gabav, and even with the Gadol Amel Gabav, they can only write the Tofes. And even when they write the Tofes, they need Gadol Amel Gabav. Okay, these are the four shitas that emerge from the Rishonim on our sugya. Now, let's just deal with a few technical issues here. Let's just make sure that we understand what these shitas are saying. So, at the risk of wasting 5 minutes, we'll just make sure we understand what these shitas are saying. Here we have Gadol Omed Al Gabav, Kasav Tofes, Kasav Toref. Here we have Ein Gadol Omed Al Gabav, Kasav Tofes. Toref, again, the Tofes is just the form, the unimportant part. The Toref is the important part, as we mentioned a few times. So, what do each of these shitas say? So the most makel shita says that, that with a Gadol Omed Al Gabav, they can write however much they want. And even without a Gadol Omed Al Gabav, they can write the Tofes. Just if they do it on their own and write the Toref, then that's puzzle. The most machmir shita says, no, without a Gadol Omed Al Gabav, everything's a problem. Even with a Gadol Omed Al Gabav, they can't write the Toref, they can only write the Tofes. And the middle shitas say that maybe with a Gadol Omed Al Gabav, it's okay no matter how much you write. Without, it's not okay no matter how much you write. Or writing the Tofes is always okay, regardless of whether you're supervised. Writing the Toref is never okay, whether or not you're supervised. Okay, those are the four shitas that we have. How do we paskin? There are Rishonim and paskin like all of these shitas. We won't list them right now. If you look through them, you could probably find them. What is the yesod of this machlokes? The yesod of this machlokes is, well, there are, I guess, two yesodos of this machlokes. Number one, does Gadol Omed Al Gabav count as Lashma? Right? Does Gadol Omed Al Gabav count as Lashma? Let's just write, what are they really arguing about? Does Gadol Omed Al Gabav count as Lashma? So, yes, no, right? It counts as Lashma. It counts as Lashma, or it doesn't count as Lashma. You can write the Tofes because the Tofes is not important, but Gadol Omed Al Gabav doesn't count as Lashma, or halfway. It doesn't count as Lashma to help you with the Toref, but it counts as Lashma to matter the Tofes. Okay, that obviously is going to need some more hesber. So, apilumdus, meaning how would we approach this sugya, right? My belief is you've seen that we should always just look at the sort of technical issues that you have to interpret the sugya or answer kashas on the sugya and then see what conceptual issues underlie them. So here we've just tried to figure out what they're saying. You know, you could also go through the psak, but we're not going to do that now.
So what do we see here? We see here that there's one lumdish issue here. Does gadol omel gabav work or does it not work? Or does it work halfway? It works for tofes, but not for toref. The other conceptual issue here is... Ha'im gazrinan tofes to toref, right, in the lashon. Do we make exera on the tofes? Don't write the tofes onto the toref. Are we makbid on the tofes? So according to the shita, no, we're not makbid on the tofes. According to the shita, no, we're not makbid on the tofes. According to this shita, yes, we absolutely are makbid on the tofes. The tofes is just as bad as the toref, right? The tofes is just as bad as the toref, right? Gadol omel gabav, tofes and toref are the same. Ain gadol omel gabav, tofes and toref are the same. And what does this shita hold? This shita holds halfway, right? Are we gozer on the tofes? Clearly, everyone agrees tofes is not doraisa. Me doraisa, it's enough to have a toref. Why? Because me doraisa, you could just write the toref and give her a get. All the other lashonos in a get are only lechavchila midrabanan. What is the toref? The toref is the essence of the get. I, ploni, and megarish, you, plonis, and hareat muteris lechol adam. That is the toref. Okay, and the date, because midrabanan, you need the date. Fine. The tofes is all the legalese, the fine print that the lawyers make you write that makes no difference. So that's only midrabanan. So there's no hava meaning that midoraisa you need the tofes lishma. But midrabanan, do you need the tofes to be lishma? According to Shita 1 and 4, no. You know, we don't care about the tofes at all. According to Shita 2, yes, we care about the tofes. Look, it's equal to the toref. And according to Shita 3, again, interestingly, halfway, we care about the tofes, but not as much as the toref. We care about the tofes. A kid can't write the tofes without supervision, but we don't care about the tofes as much as the toref, because a kid can't write the toref at all, but he can write the tofes with supervision. So obviously we now have, let's say, three conceptual things we want to explain. Number one, what's the yesod of this machlokas? Does gadol omel gabav work for lishma or not? Number two, are we goes of the tofes up to the toref or not? A very technical issue. And number three, what's with the shita number three, which the shita the Ravid, in all Amoraim, but the shita lahalach and Rabbi Yehuda of Pashas of the Rif and the Rambam? Why is it like this compromise halfway? That was the Ramban and the Rash from the Ran's conceptual kasha, which we'll mention again in a second. Okay, before we go on to analyze this conceptually, let me just point out that you see the Rif has a lot of hefkeiros going on here. The Rif is very balagan. Every possible shita you could have, someone says the shita of the Rif. Why? Because what does the Rif say? The Rif says something very strange. Says the Rif, "Va'lavnei de'aninu amrav huna v'hu she'ya gadol omen al gaban." It's gadol omen al gaban. Amrav Yehuda Mershul v'hu she'shir malkom toref. Okay, quotes Rav Huna, quotes Rav Yehuda, doesn't say anything about the relationship between them. And then he adds, and an Ovid Kochavim is no good because I died to the nafshi of it and you can't have Gadol Omen al Gabav. So he starts with Gadol Omen al Gabav, then he says Shir Makom Toref, then he goes back to Ovid Kochavim died to the nafshi of it, which is from the Sugya. He's the different order than the Gemara. He goes back earlier in the Gemara to Gadol Omen al Gabav. So what does he mean by this? So it's very, very unclear what he's trying to say. So the Pashas, the Rif, is he saying, Husha gadol omel al gabav, husha shir makom toref, like the Rambam. And it also makes sense historically the Rif would be like the Rambam. That you need gadol omel al gabav, that's what we call Shita 3, and you also need him to only write the tofes and leave out the toref. However, the Ran and the Sefer Zchus say that's not what he meant. Rather, what he meant was, to say either solution is good enough. You can either have gadol omel al gabav, let him write the whole thing, or you can have, or you can have him write on his own but leave out the Toref. And the Ramban and the Chidushim seems to say, even though it's a little more dochuk in the Rif, that maybe he quoted Rav Huna and then Rav Yehuda, and what he meant to say is that he is passing like Rav Yehuda and rejecting Rav Huna, because whoever he quotes last, he's passing like, and then he would be Shita 4. Okay, now let's analyze these things in a particular order. Let's first... analyze the most technical issue here, which is Gazrinan Toref Atu Tofes. No, Gazrinan Tofes Atu Toref. What's the issue here? We seem to have a machlokes in the Gemara whether we are gozer, whether we're makbid on the tofes or not. We're not sure. According to all the Amoraim, we're not sure. Are we makbid on the tofes or are we not makbid on the tofes? According to Shita 2 and 3, we're makbid on the tofes, somewhat at least. And according to Shita 1 and 4, we are not. So, what is the machlokas here? So, the machlokas here seems to be, let's talk according to Rav Yehuda, because l'chor we hold like Rav Yehuda. What is the stira? The stira is this, that according to Rav Yehuda here, we're lo gazrinan al hatofes. He allows the chir shota v'katan to write the tofes, according to Rav Yehuda. But according to the Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis that we learned about Mechubar, what did it say there? Let's review what it said in Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. It was very explicit. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, v'hu shishir makom toref. V'hu shishir makom toref, etc. Give me a second. V'hachi kamar. You're not allowed to write the tofes from mechuber. We're gozer on mechuber the tofes, atu toref. But b'di'evet, if you did it, then it's still kosher. So here we say, gazrinan lechatchila tofes atu toref. And what do we find? On Daf Chavav Amid Aleph is talking about something much more similar to our sugya, about Shalol Lishma, right? But it's not talking about Shalol Lishma because the Chir Shalt V'Katan doesn't know how to write Lishma. It's talking about Shalol Lishma Pshuta Kamashmo, meaning a sofer writes Gittin in advance, so that he can sell them and do business very quickly when the customer comes, and he's obviously writing Shalol Lishma because he doesn't know who he's writing them for. And what do we see here? That, Rabbi Yehuda posel bechulan. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says puzzle. If the sofer writes, hakosev tofse gittin. Someone who only writes the tofes, they leave out the toref. Rabbi Yehuda says puzzle. If you write the tofes shalol shmat puzzle, and the Gemara explains because these goes on the tofes up to the toref. And what does Rabbi Elazar say? Machshir bechulan chutz b'gittin nashim. He is puzzles and gittin because you need lishma. And who is machshir? Only the Tanakama is machshir. The Tanakama or chacham or whatever you call it says mipnei atakana. He's allowed to write tofsei gittin. So what do we see? That Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda Tanoim pasul. And even the Tanakama is only permits you to write tofsei gittin shalol lishma. He would have been gozer. He only permits you because of a takana. What's the takana? Some people say takana sofer, so the sofer can make a living. And some people say takana sagunos. So if the husband is leaving on a boat and needs to divorce his wife quickly, he can get the get very quickly because it'll already be mostly written and his wife won't be in aguna. Okay, so what do we see on Daf Chafav Amid Aleph? Let me just put this on the board. Daf Chafav Amid Aleph, when we're talking about Lishma, we say there's two shitas. Gazrinan tofes atu toref is one shita, and the other shita is we would be gozer, but there's a takana, but fundamentally we would want to be gozer. So here we have a problem. In our sugya, Rav Yehuda seems to say you can do whatever you want on the tofes. According to Rav Yehuda, you're allowed to do whatever you want on the tofes. No problem. There's no gzeira on the tofes. But yet, in the two other sugyas of tofes in all of Maseches Gittin, I think those are the only two other sugyas of tofes and toref in all of Maseches Gittin, if I'm not mistaken. We are gozer on the tofes. When it comes to mechuber, we gozer, you're not allowed to write the tofes b'mechuber, lest you write the toref b'mechuber. When it comes to shalol lishma, real shalol lishma, you're not allowed to write the tofes shalol lishma, lest you write the Torah shalol lishma. And even the mekilim were only makel because of the takana, not because there's no gzeira. So, how do you deal with this stira? So one thing is very, very clear, is that according to what we call Shita 3, which is the Rif and the Rambam, it's no problem. According to the Rif and the Rambam, it's no problem. How do we answer this? So one answer is, Lefi, the Rif and the Rambam, again, I mean, Pashtus of the Rif, what we called Shita 3 before, it's no problem. Why? Because we are Gozer and Daf Chaf Aleph, we are Gozer on Daf Chaf Vav, and we're also Gozer on Daf, we're also Gozer and Daf Chaf Gimel. What do you mean we're not Gozer? Remember what the Rif and the Rambam said, that right, according to them, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mean a Shir Shota B'Katan can write the Tofes without a Gzeira. It means a Shir Shota B'Katan can write the Tofes with Gadol Omen Al Gabav. So there is a Gzeira. He's not allowed to write it on his own, only with Gadol Omen Al Gabav, right? Gozerim. Mutter Rak Al Yedei Gadol Omen Al Gabav. Meaning, if you take those Machmer Pshanim of Yehuda, he didn't say we allow anyone to write the Tofes. He just says we allow Chir Shotav Katan to write the Tofes with the Gadol Omen Al Gabav. Okay, but that is a Gzeira. We don't allow them to write the Tofes Stam. We make a Gzeira that they need a Gadol Omen Al Gabav. So then there's no steer whatsoever. Basically, if you take the Rif and the Rambam Shita, there's no need to ask questions. There's no steer whatsoever. The question never gets off the ground because Rabbi Yehuda also goes there. He didn't mean you could do whatever you want in the Tofes. He just meant you could have a Gadol Omen Al Gabav in the Tofes, but that's a Gzeira. The Gzeira is we require Gadol Omen Al Gabav, just like we require Tolosh and just like we require the Sofer to wait till he knows who he's writing for to write it. So then it is not a problem. The another answer is the Ramban and the Ritva and the Ran, right? I gave you the Ran here, but then I put in brackets everyone else who said that, yeah, you don't have to look at everyone who says it, right? The Ritva earlier in Daf Chaf Aleph, the Ran in Daf Chaf Aleph, the Ramban in Daf Chaf Vav, the Ramban also says it partially here. So a second answer is the Ramban, Ritva, the Ran. They say, well, when it comes to Gzeros, what are Gzeros about? Gzeros, according to them, are not just like conceptually how bad would it be. Gzeros are don't do X, ought to Y. Don't write the Toref, the Tofes. Ought to, you might, don't write the Tofes in a puzzle way, even though it doesn't really matter, because you might write the Toref in a puzzle way. Okay, when do we make Gzeros? Gzeros are based on how bad the results would be, not how conceptually ugly it would be. So how bad would the results be? So that depends how shchiach it is. Milsa d'lo shchicha lo gozri rabbanan. They only make zeros on common things. They did not make zeros on uncommon things. They did not make zeros on uncommon things. And now, what's common, what's uncommon? So here, it gets a little tricky. One thing for sure is common. A sofer writing the tofes in advance is super common. Meaning, we do that all the time. You go to the Rabbanut and they have a ksuba and the tofes is all written in advance. And then they fill in the Torah, right? That's super common. A chirish shotav katan writing a get, that's uncommon. How often do you see a chirish shotav katan writing a get? Like, what are the odds a chirish shotav katan knows how to write so well? And why would they be writing gittin and they're not a sofer and it's a little weird? You know, and especially just writing the tofes. And mechubar, here's an assumption they make. Mechubar is more shchiach lechirish shotav katan. Here, you could have gone either way. They have to swallow this assumption that mechubar is more shchiach than chirish shotav katan. But that's what they say. Chirish shotav katan is low shchiach and therefore low gazru. But mechubar is more shchiach. That's an assumption. I don't know how often people write gittin on mechubar. Okay, they assume mechubar is more shchiach than chirish shotav katan. We have to grant them that assumption. And a sofer writing in advance is super shchiach. That's like normal business of what a lot of smart businessmen do. They also use that to explain a different question, which we're not going to analyze now. How come the pashut pshat? Lots of people argue with this in both directions. The pashut pshat in Daf Chaf Vav is that there are gozer even the pasul b'dieved. And the pashup shot, the explicit Daf Chaf Aleph, that there are only gozer apostle lechatchila, to asr lechatchila. So the answer. Mechaber is a little shchiach and gozer with hachila. Sofer writing in advance is very shchiach, so they were gozer even with the evidence. They also chop another answer there. And all other rishonim have other answers. We needn't get into them now. How about some other answers? Some other answers are found in the other rishonim. The Rashba has another answer. Says the Rashba. He says it explicitly about Daf Chavav, but he also obviously means it in terms of Daf Chav Aleph. The Rashba takes a different approach, says the Rashba. And here he has to make an assumption. The assumption is that Rav Yehuda, in our sugya, holds like the Tanakama in Daf Chavav. That is the assumption he has to make. Rav Yehuda holds like the Tanakama in Daf Chavav. Okay, once you make that assumption, then it's not the end of the world. Okay, you have to figure out how that fits with what Rav Yehuda says there. Fine, let's say it fits. That's his assumption. What's the assumption? He assumes the Amora Rav Yehuda paskind like the Tanakama on Daf Chaf Vav. That should be a Chaf Vav. 1 second. Now, that's why the Rashi gets into this big thing. Do we paskin like Rav Yehuda and our sugya, who matches the Tanakama and Daf Chaf Vav? Or do we paskin like, I think it was the Tanakama there. I don't think they had a name for the first Tana in Daf Chaf Vav, no. Or do we paskin like Rav Huna and our sugya, who holds like Rav Elazar and Daf Chaf Vav? Okay, that's what he had to get into, connect the psak of these sugyas, and that's why he got into question how we paskin. We're not going to deal with how we paskin yet. And if so, what's the problem? What's the issue? The issue is that what's the maskana of Daf Chaf Vav? That we would like to be gozer, but we are matter with Nantakana. So what does this mean? Gazrinan bimechubar, fine. Hayinu gozrim, we would have the lishma. We would have been gozer on the din of lishma. Aval hitiru mipnei, as the lashon there is hatakana. Right? What happens in Daf Chaf Aleph for gozer? Because in general we're gozer tofas atu toref. How about in Daf Chaf Vav? In general we're gozer tofas atu toref. But we all like the Tanakhama, they were matter for takana. And here's the Chiddush the Rashba. The other Rishonim obviously did not like. Says the Rashba that this is included in the heter of takana, since the problem with Kiryas Shel Tekatan is Shelo Lishma. Shelo Lishma is mutter of the Atakana. That's the Chiddush of the Rashba. You know why Rav Yehuda was Mekel on the Tofas and our Sugya? Because the problem is not Mechubar. On Mechubar, there's no Takana. The problem is Shelo Lishma. And on Shelo Lishma, there's a Takana. And if you ask, just because they made a Takana for the Sofrim, why would they make a Takana to permit a Kiryas Shel Tekatan? He has two answers. Either number one, the takana was made so the sofrim could make a living. But what we call like a low plug, once they matter the sofer to write Shulol Lishma, they made a general rule and also matter a chayr shelta v'katan to write Shulol Lishma. So that's one explanation of why our sugya, meaning our sugya accidentally falls under the takana. Because once they're matter Shulol Lishma, they're matter Shulol Lishma. Or he suggests, there's two opinions there, what the takana is, I said, to help the sofer make a living or to prevent aguna. Maybe it's for aguna. They were matter the tofa Shulol Lishma for aguna. And here also they're matter for aguna, because what if the husband's leaving on a boat and he wants to write his wife or get so she won't be in aguna? And the only person he can find to write is a chayr shel tekatan. So mishum aguna, they let the chayr shel tekatan start, and then we'll find a gadol to finish to avoid aguna. Okay, that's the basic copy. The Rashba falls under the takana. These are the three general answers to explain Rav Yehuda Shita. If he is gozer on the tofes, like the Rambam and the Rif, then no problem. But if we assume he's not gozer on the tofes, why is it different than the other sugyas? Either it's different because Milsa de la Shchicha, or it's different because it falls under the heter of the Takana, even though we wouldn't have thought it falls under the Heter Takana. The Tosos Rush had two other answers. The Tosos Rush did not ask the Shaila from Daf Chav Vav, so I can't tell you what he would have answered to the Shaila from Daf Chav Vav, I'm sorry to say. He gives two answers only to the Shaila from Daf Chav Aleph. What are his two answers? But maybe one of them could also work for Daf Chav Vav. What are his two answers? To the Shaila from Daf Chav Aleph. First, he has the answer of the Rivam.
The answer.
Exactly. This is the Rivam D. That should be a D. Whoops. Sorry. D is the Rivam. Says the Rivam that in our sugya, and this is the Psak of the Rambam, in our sugya, he has a new pshat in our sugya. You think Rav Yehuda was matur lechatchila? Hakol k'sherim lichtov sounds like he's matur lechatchila. No, big chiddush. This is a chiddush. The chiddush is that it's not, I wouldn't even say mutter. No one else agrees with this. Kosher, rak, b'di'evid. Everyone else says that Rabbi Yehuda is matur l'chachila. They argue in what case? With writing the Tofes or with writing the Tofes under supervision of Gadol HaMelagabah? But everyone agrees that he was matmekel even l'chachila. He says, no, he's only kosher b'di'evid. Here also, in Daf Chav Aleph, it was kosher b'di'evid. The Rivam could hold. There are some Rishonim who hold Daf Chav Vav also. When in Daf Chav Vav they said puzzle, they only meant pasul chachila. They also meant kosher b'di'evid. So I don't know if he would say that, but I know other Rishonim say that. That maybe here also the Rush says it. If you look in the Rush in Daf Chav Vav, I wasn't on the Makoros. The Rush in Daf Chav Vav says it's kosher b'di'evid. So the truth is that could also be a complete answer. The Rivam could say there's no steer at all. Rav Yehuda only meant against everyone else in the world that it's kosher b'di'evid. And in Daf Chav Aleph, they were gozer on the Tofes, just b'di'evid we're not gozer. Daf Chav Aleph were gozer l'chachila, not b'di'evid. And Daf Chav Vav also, he could say we're gozer l'chachila, not b'di'evid, which is one opinion there. The Tosos Rush himself gives a different answer, and which could also, I guess could also work for all the sugyas, even though he's only asking for mechuber. Let's see if we can fit in the Tosos Rush himself someplace. It's a very technical answer, says the Tosos Rush. He says, what's the difference? The difference is, are you likely to make a mistake? And what's his chap? When you write it yourself, you're likely to make a mistake. When you have someone else write it, you're not likely to make a mistake. Right? So if there's only a sofer, what is he saying? If there's only a sofer, he plans to write the Tofes b'mchubber, he'll easily make a mistake and write the Torah b'mchubber. You have a sofer, he plans to write the Tofes in advance, he could easily make a mistake and write the Torah in advance.
I don't understand how that, the logic of that. He doesn't even know who the people are.
No, hold on. Chaim, you don't have any yentas in your neighborhood who know exactly who's getting divorced? Okay, Chaim is Nizer from Lashon Hara. But most of us, we know exactly who's getting divorced in our neighborhood. Everyone knows who's going to the sofer to get divorced sometime in the next week. The sofer's not stupid. He has his ear to the ground. And he knows exactly who's coming to the store. He wants the guy to come to the store. He might write the Torah in advance. Again, that I'm adding. He doesn't say this. Yeah.
But that's such a particular case. We're talking about the Tofsin that he prepares well in advance. One time that it might happen that he picked up some Lashon Hara in the mikveh after they cleaned it out from Corona. Okay.
You know what? I don't know what to tell you. First of all, maybe there was no Corona, so he spent every day an hour in the mikveh. So I don't know what to tell you. All I know is that's what he says. Here he says is, what he calls this is Eino Tarud, I think is his Lashon. I'm going to have to explain what this means. As opposed to this case where he is Tarud, and maybe in this case he could also say he's Tarud. What do we mean by Tarud? What I mean by Tarud, and this is what I'm teaching the Tosos Rush, is that in our case, you plan to let the kid write the Tofes, and then the adult will write the Toref. Okay, since the kid's writing the Tofes and the adult claims to write the Toref, it's not likely they'll make a mistake and the wrong person will write the wrong thing because you're dividing up the labor and it's unlikely someone will do someone else's job. Like if I let my kid write half the get, I'm not going to let him write the whole get because he's a different person and I have to write finish the get. But if I'm writing b'mechubar, I might accidentally write the whole get b'mechubar. That is not so crazy. Meaning, everyone knows, right? I don't know if anyone's been on a diet. If I plan to eat half a chocolate bar and give my wife the second half of the chocolate bar, it's unlikely I'll eat the whole chocolate bar. But if I plan to eat half the chocolate bar and leave the other half of the chocolate bar for later, then it's exceedingly likely that I'll eat the entire chocolate bar. And that's exactly the Tosfos' point. If I let the kid write half and the adult write the second half, it's unlikely you'll make a mistake and have him write it all. But if I decide I'll write half when it's mechubar and then pick it off the tree and write the other half, I could easily write the whole thing while it's on the tree. And maybe also if I'm writing part of it in advance and I know who's getting divorced, I might write it all in advance. Okay, these are five answers to the question. Again, the question is only comes up if you don't take the riff from the Rambam shot. But if you don't take the riff from the Rambam shot, you have to give one of these answers.
Also, according to the riff and the Rambam, other Rishonim don't like the Ran, for example, that where only goes are halfway.
Aha, exactly. Good. That's exactly the next thing I wanted to mention. And I'm going to ask this question. I'm not going to fully answer it. The problem with the riff and the Rambam is, right, Shmuel picked up on my hints here. I mean, he didn't have to pick up on my hints. He read the question in the Rishonim. Is that the riff and the Rambam shita is a little funny that we're goes are halfway. What does this mean? Let's review the shita, which we called number three, which is the riff. Again, there are many interpretations of the riff. This is pashtus of the riff. And the Rambam and the Ravid, he also liked that. And I think those are the and the other. Okay, good enough. Enough names for now. What do they say? Let's remember what they say. That when it comes to the Toref, then... Chereshot of a katan is pasol bain gadol omed al gabav bain ein gadol omed al gabav. But when it comes to the tofes, which we know is xera, tofes can't be doraisa. That can only be xera. We all know the tofes not doraisa because doraisa, there's no such thing as a tofes. there is no tofes. Only the Arbon invented the tofes. When it comes to the tofes, what's the xera? Guzru lifso chelev shot v'katan, or at least lesor, right? Guzru al chelev shot v'katan im ein gadol omed al gabav aval hitiru im gadol omed al gabav. Okay, that's the shita. What's the question? The Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran, I think we saw it in the Ran, ask a conceptual question, right? To say this from Rav Yehuda, there's no exegetical problem. Rav Yehuda was adding to what Rav Huna said in an and way, not in an or way. That's fine. The exegetical problem is to say that even Rav Huna held this. But to say Rav Yehuda held this, we postulate Rav Yehuda is no problem in terms of Parshanut HaGemara. Rav Yehuda was adding on, you need Gadol Omer Gabav, and also, you're only allowed to write the Tofes, not the Toref. They had a conceptual problem with this. What the conceptual problem is obvious. It's crying out to us. If it's a Gzera, then what should Gzera be? Don't write the Tofes in a way that would be puzzled in the Toref, right? Meaning, then be Manavshach. If you're going to say, don't write the Tofes in a way that can mess up the Toref, then how do we permit writing with Gadol Omer Gabav? You might also write the Torah if it'll be messed up, right? So if we make Gzera, we should make the Gzera and equate the Tofes to Torah. We shouldn't have halfway Gzeras. It's a halfway Gzera. There are two cases that are puzzled in the Torah, and in the Tofes where goes are in one of them. But that doesn't make any sense. The whole Gzera is don't do the Tofes because whatever you do in the Tofes, you might do in the Torah. So we should be Gozer and make exactly the same Gzera in the Tofes and the Torah. So either make no Gzera, or make it equivalent to the Torah as a Gzera. How could it be a Gzera to make it halfway? It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. You shouldn't make a Gzera halfway. You should worry, right? What's saying something like, don't carry books in a Carmelist, but you can carry food in a Carmelist, lest you carry Rosh Hashanah. What do you mean? Carrying anything in Rosh Hashanah is bad. So we should ask for carrying everything in a Carmelist. There's no point in making a Gzera halfway. That's the question of all... not all the Rishonim, but all the Rishonim of the Beit Midrash and Ramban, right? The Catalonian school of Sephardic Rishonim, right? The question is, of the Ramban, Rash, and the Ritva, is why make a Gzera halfway? That's the question. Why make a Gzera halfway? And this is the question. And what did the Ramban and the Rosh from the Ran answer to this question? They didn't. They said, and therefore that's wrong. Therefore, there's no such pshat. Therefore, there's no such pshat. How do we answer the steer of Nafchafal and Nafchavav? That's what they spent the last board doing, right? Since they said there's no such pshat, therefore the Ramban and the Ran and the Rashba had to give other answers to that previous question. Okay, but what's the answer? So here, I gave you the Karbon HaSanal. I admit, I didn't totally follow at the end exactly what the Karbon HaSanal was trying to say, but I certainly followed at the beginning. The Karbon HaSanal gives one answer, which is a very possible answer. Question is whether it's true for the Rambam. What does the Karbon HaSanal say? So one answer, he doesn't say for the Rambam. I think he says it for the Rif. Right? I know technically who he says it for. Let's see, technically who the Karbon HaSanal is talking. According to Hiksha, Ran, etc. The Yesh L'Yashe, etc. Kol Tanichu Das HaRif. Right? So, one answer is the Karbon HaSanal L'Das HaRif. Yesh L'Ayin, he thinks it doesn't work for the Rambam. I'm not saying it's Pashut. It could be it does work according to the Rambam. What does he say? He just adds one factor. What does he say? He says that we have to add something that it doesn't say in the Gemara. But let's review this. That when it comes to the Toref, Chereshota v'katan v'gadol omed al gabav is pasol midrabanan. Chereshota v'katan, you know, greida, a pure Chereshota v'katan, is batel, that's the technical law of the Rambam use, min ha-Torah, right? The difference between batel and pasul is redundant to the difference between Midrabanan and min ha-Torah, just that the Rambam says, based on the Gemara, that pasul is a lashon Midrabanan and batel or eino get is a lashon Daraisa. That's the assumption he throws in. He says, really, even in the Toref, if the Chir Shaltim Katam wrote it stam, it's pasul min ha-Torah. But if there's a good alum al-Gabab, that's really kosher min ha-Torah. It's just that the Rabbanim were gozer on Gadol Omen Al Gabav, Atu Ein Gadol Omen Al Gabav. Now, I don't have to put anything more on the board. It's obvious how it flows. When it comes to a Tofes, when were they gozer? They were gozer Atu Apsul D'Oraisa. They weren't gozer Atu Apsul D'Rabbanim because they were gozer in Gzeira L'Gzeira. So if you have a pure Cheresholta V'Katan by himself in the Tofes, they were gozer on the Tofes because it would be Apsul D'Oraisa in the Toref. But if you have Gadol Omen Al Gabav, they weren't gozer in the Tofes. Because even if he did in the Torah, it would only be a psul drabanan and ain't gozring zera l'gzera. That is the perish of the Karbon HaSanal. That is the perish of the Karbon HaSanal. And now if you would go back to the chart we had earlier, according to the Karbon HaSanal, it actually, it works pretty well. Let's just add the Karbon HaSanal now. Let's give him blue or something. That according to the Karbon HaSanal, bidas harif, all the halfways make sense. If a gadol omen al gabav Torah, this is totally mutter. This is a problem. Let's call it a psol. We're not sure if it's a psol or it's a iser. This is a pasol. Let's call it midrabanan. This is pasol midrabanan. And this is pasul min ha-Torah. Now, according to the Karbon HaSanal, all the halfways make perfect sense. The psul d'oraisa is if he does it himself, and he writes the Torah. He wrote the d'oraisa part without help. Psul d'rabanan, they were gozer, and that's one step removed from that. Like if he wrote the tofes by himself, he might write the Torah by himself. Or if he wrote the Torah with help, he might write the Torah without supervision. But if he wrote the tofes with supervision, that's two steps removed from the right thing. And goes ring zera l'gzera. The Karbon HaSanal Taka has a good point. Okay, what did the Karbon HaSanal then say next? He said next, but he's not sure if that works for the Rambam. Okay, here is a big debate. All the Achronim, by the way, all the Achronim know this shot of the Karbon HaSanal, even the ones who came before the Karbon HaSanal and didn't read the Karbon HaSanal. It's an obvious enough shot. The question is that true according to the Rambam or not? The problem is that while the Rif doesn't go through the halacha in a conceptually complete fashion, he just brings down lines to the Gemara Paskin like, the Rambam presents the halacha as a whole, and here the Rambam's a little tricky. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says,
V'im kasav haget echad mi'chamisha elu, if a chayra shota v'katan goyer eved writes the entire get, writes the toref, af eino get. It's not a get. Eino get means a pasul midaraisa. The Rambam sort of sounds like if a chayra shota v'katan writes the toref, it's pasul midaraisa. And he does not distinguish between god olam and al-gabav and ain god olam and al-gabav. Now, I admit it's an argument from silence. But if the Rambam, this is clearly the assumption of the Karban Nisano, he assumed this because he thought the Rambam required shlichos for writing to get midaraisa, and chayra shota v'katan can't be a shliach, which will wait till the next year or this year after. But if the Rambam, the Karban Nisano assumed in the Rambam, and this straight lashon of the Rambam, is that when it comes to the Torah, there's no difference in god olam and al-gabav or not. But let's put the Rambam color. How about green? There's no greens yet. If mashmos of the Rambam that this is pasul min haTorah, what the Rambam calls eino get, and this is also pasul min haTorah. This is asur midrabanan. Now the Rambam's back and has a halfway problem. If with or without god olam and al-gabav, it's a problem to rice on the toref. So why in the tofes did they allow? Why in the tofes did they forbid him from doing it without supervision, but permit it with god olam and al-gabav? Now the Rambam has a halfway problem again. You can't explain based on gzera l'gzera. It should be one gzera whether there's god olam and al-gabav or not. And that's the problem with the Rambam. That one answer to this problem, the Rambam say he holds like the Karban Nisano's riff. And he really does agree with the riff. He didn't say it. He could have said it and didn't. He implied otherwise, but really does agree with the riff. If someone wants to be, to say, don't get fancy, you could say the Rambam is really the same as the Karban Nisano's version of the riff. He doesn't hint to it. He doesn't imply it. Okay, but Bidochak will stick it in anyway. And Shalom al Yisrael. But if you want to say, no, let's read the Rambam as straightforwardly as possible, then he is not mechalik in god olam al-gabav ve'eino god olam al-gabav and ein god olam al-gabav by the Torah. By the Torah, it's eino get, it's possible to rice either way. Now we're back to the halfway problem, the kasha of the Ran, and we're going to need to do some work before we come back and answer that kasha. So we'll remember that kasha and go on. So let us go weiter then. And now we're going to deal with the most fascinating lundish aspect of our sugya, which is god olam and al-gabav, meaning a cut chirshot v'katan don't have das. They clearly can't do things l'shma. That's true all over Shas. Chirshot v'katan can't have l'shma. But with god olam and al-gabav, they can. Right? That's what our Gemara seems to say. So how does that exactly work? To understand exactly how that works, we have to first ask some technical kashas. What are the technical kashas? Tosos asked two technical kashas. What does Tosos do in classic Tosos fashion? He goes to all of Shas, finds places where you need kavana lishma, places where you need kavana, and where there's a case of chirshot v'katan with a gadol on top of them, and sees if that counts or doesn't count. And then he has to tie that back in to our sugya. So that's Tosos Dibra Maskil Vahalav De Daninhu at the beginning. There's a lot of meat in Tosos Maskil Vahalav De Daninhu. And we'll have to, it'll take us a few shiurim to get through all that meat. But let's start. So Tosos asked the following kasha. What does Rav Huna say in our sugya? Right? What is the problem with Tosos here? Rav Huna in Gittin. Where is Rav Huna technically? Oh, it's a little hard to tell if he's Chav Beza and Beza, Chav Gimel and Aleph. Let's call him Chav Gimel and Aleph, right? He says, Gadol Omed al Gabav equals Kavana, and the context is Ksivas Get. Okay, what's the problem? The problem is two problems. Number one, shchita, right? Chulin, yud beis amid beis.
The Gemara in Chulin Yud Beis Amud Beis says, the Mishnah, the beginning of Chulin says, Chira Shota V'katan who shechted under adult supervision, excuse me, is kosher. Right? Under adult supervision, a Chira Shota V'katan and shecht. Okay, our minhag nowadays that they wouldn't hire you in the shlacht houses, but theoretically, it would be valid. The Gemara then says, ah, the tan of our Mishnah must hold, Shechita doesn't eat Kavana. Must hold Shechita doesn't need Kavana. And Tosas asks, what do you mean? An adult is supervising, and the Gemara says that doesn't count as Kavana. That's against our Gemara. That's against Rav Huna. After all, Rav Huna holds adult supervision counts as Kavana. So here we have Chulin Yud Beis Amud Beis says that a Gadol Omed Al Gabav does not count as Kavana, right? For those who are not familiar with math, that's a not equal sign, right? Is not count as Kavana. And what is the context? The context is Shechita. And one last problem, and here, all the Rishonim have different opinions about this, but one thing they all agree on, a Shoteh for Chalitza. Chalitza needs Kavana. That's before all over Maseches Yevamos. A Shoteh needs Kavana, right? A chalitza needs kavana. All over Perek Mitzvah, chalitza, I think, the 12th Perek Yevamos, whatever it may be. But the Tosefta in the Bavli implies that a shoteh can't do chalitza and doesn't explain why. And the Tosefta, Tosas quotes here from Yevamos, the shoteh la bar chalitza hu, that a shoteh cannot do chalitza. Okay, and the Tosefta seems to really imply because he doesn't have Kavana. So a Shoteh can't do Chalitza because of Kavana. But everyone knows that Chalitza is done in Bezdin, right? Some things we only do in Bezdin nowadays because we've become a lot more regimented in our observance. But it's all over Shas. Chalitza was always done. You know, like some things in the old days were more like a natural part of life, and now we've ritualized them in a Bezdin. Chalitza, even days of the Gemara was ritualized in a Bezdin. The Gemara says explicitly, Bezdin owned the Chalitza shoe. People didn't wear Chalitza shoes like in biblical times. And Bezdin would tell them all what to do. And the Gemara even has the Lashon of what's called a shtar of Chalitza, meaning they would give the woman a shtar afterwards. Bezdin would write her a shtar afterwards to prove she's permitted to remarry. And it says in the shtar, we, Bezdin, told the guy say these words and he said them. And we told him do this and he did it. And we told her do this and she did it. And we told her say this and she did it. It says explicitly, we, Bezdin, told him say lo chafatzi lakachta. And he did. We told her to say me'en yivami lakim lachim shem yisrael lo avayavmi. And she did, etc. It's clearly done under the supervision of Bezdin. Godol omer al gabav. And yet a shota is no good. So that is another stira. What do we have in Yevamos? Okay, let's call it Kofdalid Amid Beis plus the Tosefta. It's Meduyak in Yevamos Kofdalid Beis because it's clear that Chir Shot V'Katan doesn't work and there's no other explanation. But plus the Tosefta, we see that Gadol Omer Al Gabav does not count as Kavana. And what's the context? It is Chalitza. So here is Tosas Kasha. And again, whenever you have these steers between sugyas, these classic Tosas type steers between sugyas, you're going to find technical answers of like the Yesod HaDavar is always the same. However, you know, there's some technical difference here and there, or you have to be on the lookout for Yesodistic answers that give you a hint as to the core of the lumdus of the context we're talking about. So Tosas himself gives a very technical answer. What does Tosas himself say? He gives two technical answers. What does Tosos say? In the beginning of our Tosos.
You can tell.
Okay, well, let's go in order. He says, really, give me a second. He says, really, it does count as Kavana. Really does count as Kavana. But why in Chulin doesn't it work? So he makes an Okimta. Who says in Chulin it was Gadol Omer Al Gabav? It doesn't say Gadol Omer Al Gabav in Chulin. It says, Achirim Rowan Osan. Now here, you know, Yesh London, some Rishonim think Rowan Osan counts as Gadol Omer Al Gabav because they're arguing Metzias. Some people, in interpreting the Metzias, the case described by these words, right? Interpreting the Metzias, the case that these words are describing. Some Rishonim say the Mishnah obviously means that the Gadol is supervising. That's Rowan Osan. Like he's standing there supervising them. Omen al Gabav. Tof says no. A Romo's son doesn't mean Omen al Gabav. Romo's son is Rom Me Rachok. They were supervising from far away, but they weren't directing. That's right. Does Roa'o's son mean directing or supervising? Says Tosos. He says the case in Chulin is not where the Gadol was directing. Then it would count as Kavana. The case in Chulin is where the Gadol was supervising without directing, and therefore it's not even a case of Gadol Omen al Gabav. Says Tosos. Not a case of Gadol Omen al Gabav. If it's not a case of Gadol Omen al Gabav, then it's not a stira in the first place. Ela Re'ia B'alma, not a case of Gadol Omen al Gabav. What Tosa says is just Re'ia B'alma. He was just watching without being involved. Okay, then it's no stira. What is Tosa do to Yavamos? You can't say in Yavamos that the Gadolim of the Dayane HaBezdim were only watching without directing. Because we know that in the days of Chazal, I have no idea how it worked in biblical times, but we know in the days of Chazal that was very clear from the days of the Amram that Bezdin directed Berachol Bitcha Haktana every detail of the Chalitza ceremony. Nowadays, Bezdin also does it for Gittin. Okay, it seems like Bezdin didn't direct the Gittin didn't micromanage the Get ceremony in the days of Chazal. That's only in our days. But they did micromanage the Chalitza ceremony in the days of Chazal. So you can't say they weren't directing. So what does Tosus say? Tosus gives a quantitative distinction. What he says, is a matter of muchach mitoch maisav. It's what's called muchach. What does that mean? That get is kavana because muchach mitoch maisav. After all, what's this chirushot v'katan doing? He is writing a get. And what is, again, it's written Lashma. We'll see, hopefully, in the beginning of the third perek, or someday, that there are three requirements in Lashma. It has to be written Lashem Gerushin, for the sake of divorce, Lashem Ha'ish, for the sake of this man divorcing, and Lashem Ha'isha, for the sake of the man divorcing the wife. Okay, the simple shot is, even though I have a lot to say about it, maybe some year, someday, perhaps maybe this year, that it's all one big din. It needs to be Lashma for this man to divorce this wife. Okay, so normally, it's hard to get a shota to know that even with adult supervision, a shota doesn't have kavana. But if he shows it through his mas, and then he does, here, what did the shota do? He sat there and wrote, I, Ploni ben Ploni, am divorcing you, Plonis bar Ploni, who was my wife, etc., etc., and now you are permitted to, etc., etc., etc. So he obviously showed he had kavana lishma from his actions. So, because muchach mitok maisav, but when it comes to chalitza, it's not muchach mitoch ma'isav. Think about it. Chalitza is a ceremony of releasing the leveret bonds, as we say, and permitting her to remarry. Is it muchach because I take off someone's shoe that has anything to do with yibam, with marriage, etc.? Is it muchach when I spit at someone? No, it's not muchach mitoch ma'isav at all. And don't say because I said me'ein yavami, etc. You know, I can always parrot words. Most people didn't understand Hebrew. What does that mean? Right? So it's not muchach mitoch ma'isav. So therefore, Tosa says that doesn't work for a shota because it's not muchach mitoch ma'isav. Okay. So Tosa gives a very technical answer. Tosa says, really, it would work. Really, the general rule is that if you clearly taught him well, Gadol Omen al Gabav can help him have Kavana. However, in Chulin, it didn't work because you weren't teaching him. You were just looking from far away. And in Yevamos, by the Shota, it doesn't work because it doesn't work for a Shota. It might work for a Chirish or a Katan, but a Shota is the lowest level. It's not going to work for a Shota unless he has a Hochech Mitoch Maisav. And therefore, he didn't have a Hochech Mitoch Maisav, so just quantitatively, you know, it wasn't so clear that he knew what he was doing. Okay, that's a very technical answer. In the Shut Rashba, when he quotes Rina Yonah, I know there's a fundamental difference in this detail between the Shut Rashba's version of Rina Yonah and the Chidusha Rashba's version of Rina Yonah. Okay, I guess he was Masopik exactly what, or Rina Yonah was Masopik, he's Masopik how we heard from Rina Yonah. He gives another technical answer. In the Shut Rashba, B'shem Rabbeinu Yonah. He gives the same answer to all of these. He says, here, it's muchach mitoch ma'isav. Here, it is not muchach mitoch ma'isav. And here, it is not muchach mitoch ma'isav klal, meaning shchita, I understand, he was cutting. How does he know that cutting the neck of an animal has to do with the halachic ritual slaughter and kashrus? It's not muchach at all. Just like cutting an animal's neck, how is that muchach that I know about kashrus? Chalitza, it's a little muchach. I'm doing really weird things that Goyim would never do. So like maybe I know about the ritual, but maybe I don't. Get it's mamash muchach mitoch ma'isav. It's the same thing, say technical answer. Get it's muchach mitoch ma'isav. So the Godol Omel Gabov helps him have kavana. And we're sure that the Godol Omel Gabov works because he displayed it through his masim. In Shchita, even the Godol Omel Gabov, we don't know if he really chapped because his masim are very parid. Goyim also slaughter animals. And in Chalitza, it's also, his maisim are sort of weird and random and arbitrary. We're not sure if he chapped the idea of Chalitza. Okay, he suggests that there might be a difference. There might be more muchach in Chalitza than in Shchita, which would explain why in Shchita, Chir, Shota, Bekatan are all bad, and in Chalitza, only Shota is bad. Okay, or Ben Yonah has another way of dealing with it. Good enough for now. Let's just think of some other technical answers that we have. The Meiri gives another technical answer to, it's unclear, maybe there's a yesod in this, to the question of Shchita. I don't remember what he said about, if he said anything, Yivamos, about the Kasha from Yivam, but he gives another technical answer, so let's just go make ourselves a new board. Here we have Get, here we have Shchita, and here we have Chalitza. Says the Meiri, he gives another technical answer. He says, in Get, the Chereshot V'Katan listens to the Gadol because the Chereshot V'Katan knows that he doesn't know what he's doing. But in Shchita, again, we're talking about a Chereshot V'Katan who's a strong guy who knows how to kill animals. Why does he have to listen to the supervision of the Gadol? He knows how to do it just fine on his own. Chereshot V'Katan doesn't listen to the Gadol because he is comfortable. When it comes to shechting animals, I know some people here in these boxes are not comfortable shechting animals. But if you like slaughtering, then I know how to kill animals. I know how to kill animals and eat them. I know how to hunt. And he doesn't, he ignores the Gadol. Well, when it comes to Gad, he's like, boy, this is a complicated thing, writing. The more complicated it is, the more you listen to the person who's directing you. The more passionate it is, the less you listen to anyone. So that also seems like a technical answer. In Ged, he listens to the guy who directs him because it's complicated. In Shchita, it's not so complicated, so he ignores the guy who's directing him. Those of us who have kids know that they often ignore us. But if something is really complicated, they have no choice but to listen to us. Okay, the Meiri must have had kids. Another technical answer is found in Tosfos in Yevamos, gives another possible answer.
Ribui Dvarim.
What?
Ribui Dvarim.
Right. Too the truth details. Is, he also gives this answer. He says, here he says that it generally works. Works if, well, there he throws in a few answers, right? But what are some of the answers that he throws in there? He throws in, for example, in Shchita, he says maybe the reason Shchita doesn't work is like we said above. Let's put it here. Not muchach mitoch ma'isav. That's also one daya in Tosos and Yevamos. Okay, he also suggests that neither of those are muchach. And Tosos and Yevamos here gives a different answer as well to Chalitza. He says that get is, that's what's called riboy dvarin, meaning get is one thing,
And chalitza is many complicated things. Let me just read you the lashon of the Tosfos in Yevamos. Says the Tosfos in Yevamos in one of his answers. He says, give me a second. Here he says, Lefishiyesh b'chalitza ribuyei devarim ve'ein bo das klal lasos l'das bezin av algabe getch and noach lasos go to lomen algabe of kosher. He says that here it's only one thing. You just have to write. So he can focus. And here there's Reboy Devarim. So he can't focus Ladas Bezdin and do the way Bezdin's teaching him to do. Right, ADHD. You want to write one thing, you can get him to be supervised by the gadol and follow the gadol to write one thing b'kavana. You want him to do a lot of things, and he's going to lose focus, and he's not going to be able to follow your kavana. Okay, that is another technical answer. We'll just give one more technical answer, and then we will go on. The Ramban here is not his real answer, because the Ramban says, look what I wrote in Chulin, and Chulin Yevamos, he writes the same thing. But the Ramban in Gittin, before he says, look what I wrote there, he gives a super-duper technical answer. What's his super-duper technical answer? He says, maybe it's totally on the machlokas. Maybe this is only Lefi Rav Huna. After all, it's Rav Huna who allows go to Lom Al-Gaba, not everyone. And this is, maybe these other sugyas are not Lefi Rav Huna. Who would they be? Lefi Rav Yehuda, who argues on Rav Huna. Maybe those sugyas are Lefi someone else. If those sugyas are Lefi someone else, the truth is he says it not about Shechita. He says it about Chalitza, but it could also be about Shechita. Okay, maybe each of these sugyas is according to a different daya. Okay, this is only Rav Huna. Another technical answer is what he says in the Sefer Hazchus. In the Sefer Hazchus, what does he say in the Sefer Hazchus? He says, really, it is Kavana. So why doesn't it work for the Shota in Yibam? And he says, you know what? The problem with the Shota is not Kavana. The Chisaron in the Chalitza Shota ain't no Kavana. He says, you're right, Gadol Lomel Gavol counts as Kavana. The Chisaron is not Kavana. So what's the Chisaron? What's wrong with Chalitza Shota if it's not Kavana? So what's so bad about Chalitza Shota? It's not that he doesn't have Kavana. Gadol Lomel Gavol counts as Kavana. So what's so bad about Chalitza Shota? He says the problem with Chalitza Shota is something else, a different problem for the man and a different problem for the woman. The problem for the man is that the man needs to do chalitza of free will. And if the Bezdin directs him what to do and they overpower his will, then that's considered isoy, that's considered a forced chalitza. Eina kavana, ella what? Me'usa means forced. After all, the whole solution is to have the gadol tell him what to do. If the gadol tells him what to do, then he's forced and he's not doing his own free will. What about the woman? The woman doesn't need free will in chalitza, only the man does. I mean, that's an assumption. Nowadays, we're machmir, the woman also needs free will. But he assumed only the man needs free will. The woman, there's a different problem. The different problem is, basically, he says, just like Gittin, what's the problem with telling someone to divorce when they don't understand what they're doing and forcing them to do it? The man is ma'usa. What's the problem with a woman who's shota getting divorced? So there's a whole machlokas in the Gemara. The problem is either mishalcha v'chozeres, that mida oraisa, divorce only works if it's v'shilcha mibeso, she leaves the house and won't come back. But a shota doesn't understand the inyan of gerushin and she'll come back home. And therefore that's a deraisa problem, or a derabbanan problem called minag hefker. That if you divorce a shota since she has no das, all the men and all the bums in the street, all the criminals in the street will take advantage of her and sleep with her all the time because she doesn't know how to protect herself. And therefore, to avoid this terrible michshol, the Rabbanim forbade the divorce. So he says also, Ella, Me'usa for the man. And let's just write
dot, dot, dot. For the woman, it's either a problem. It's the same problem as for a divorce. Either a problem of Mishalcha v'chozeres, that if you send her out and she comes back, then that's not a valid divorce because she doesn't understand. Or a problem of, and here, even if you have Gadol Omer al Gabav during Chalitza, afterwards she won't understand what to do. Or a problem of Minig Hefker, that people take advantage of her. Okay, one last, I apologize, technical answer, but which is very important is, here we have Get, here we have Shechita, and here we have Chalitza, is the Reintosis. This Reintosis is going to be a big deal, but not right this second. What does the Reintosis say? The Reintosis says, the Reintosis makes a big chiddush against what all the Rishonim assume. He says Rav Huna is not a Leibit Rav Elazar. Rav Huna is a Leibit Rav Meir. Rav Huna is a Leibit Rav Meir. He says this for a different reason. Why? Because he thinks, well, he says it for a few reasons. Rav Huna is a Leibit Rav Meir. So, why does he say this? If you look, here's the ring. Sorry, give me a second. The Odom Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Matzino Meir, so he's a Leibit Rav Meir. Etc. Ah, here he makes a big chiddush, tremendous chiddush, against everything we've said until now. I started off this whole sugya by saying there are three ways to answer up why chiddushot b'katan is kosher. Either it's Rabbi Meir, and therefore you don't need ksivah l'shma, or within Rabbi Lazar, you have Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda. That's how everyone but the Re understands the Gemara. But the Re understands the Gemara in a very mechudish fashion. That Rav Huna is within Rav Meir. Ah, why don't you go to Lama Gaba for Ksiva for Rav Meir? Rav Meir doesn't need Ksiva Lishma at all. We didn't know that yet. Only later do we know that Rav Meir doesn't need Ksiva Lishma. So what does he say? He says a big chiddush totally changes up the sugya in many, many ways. He says that Rav Huna is Aliba, the Tana Rav Meir, and then Rav Huna has to be wrong. It's only Salka Daitach. The Salka Daitach. Derev Meir Ba'i Ksiva Lishma Midra Banan. Remember, we had that discussion. We had the same Shaklatari in the beginning of the Masechet. Even Meir, wouldn't you require Ksiva? Wouldn't you require Ksiva Lishma Midra Banan? And you have to say Paniach Paninechtam? No, because he said even if you find it in the garbage when it's written Shlo Lishma, it's okay. Okay, if so, then how does the re-answer all the kashya? There's no problem. He says in Chalitza, you need. In Chalitza, Sarech Kavana, Mida Oraisa. In Shechita, according to Manu Mina Kavana, Sarech Kavana, Mida Oraisa. But in Get, according to his wild reinterpretation of our Sugya, that Rav Huna is only Leibit Rav Meir, and Rav Meir really doesn't need Kavana and Tziv at all. But in a half a minute, Kavana Ksiva Midra Banan. Sarich Kavana Midra Banan. And if so, now everything is answered. God Olam and Al Gaba really doesn't count for anything in Kol Terakuva. God Olam and Al Gaba is worthless in Kol Terakuva. But if you only Kavana Midra Banan, God Olam and Al Gaba is good enough. So here, for a Doraisa, God Olam and Al Gaba doesn't count. Because it's not a real Kavanah Midoraisa, for Shechita, it doesn't count. But for Get, where you only Kavanah Midorabanan, it counts. Of course, Shmuel will ask that now the Re is subject to the same attack as the Riff and the Rambam. What is with this halfway Gzera? If Rav Meir requires Kavanah Lishma for Ksiva, it's Mistama Gzera Atu Chasima. So Mimanevshach, if Gadol and Gabav wouldn't work for Chasima, why does he let it work for Ksiva if he makes this Zera? Okay, we'll have to add that to our list of unanswered questions that we'll have to get to. Now, let's move on to something a little more fundamental. Let's go to Ravina Yonah. Where is Ravina Yonah quoted? He is quoted in the Rashba in Chulin. In the Rashba in Chulin, he's quoted as Rabbeinu Harav. And generally, Rabbeinu Harav means Ravina Yonah. He is quoted in the Shut Rashba, and in the Shut Rashba, I think he quotes by name as Rabbeinu Yonah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I think he says the name Rabbeinu Yonah. I think he does. Does he, Chaim?
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. And it's also quoted in the Chidushim Miksav Yad that's published in the first half of the Seder of Kuk Ritva here, who in general parallels the Rashba. He usually parallels the Rashba here. Here he parallels the Rashba elsewhere. He's definitely not the Rashba. He may or may not be the Ritva. He's not the Rashba because we have a Rashba in Gittin, but he's a very strong resemblance to the Rashba. So he's clearly someone directly related to the Rashba. I don't mean biologically. I mean intellectually. The Rabbi Yonah makes a big yisod. He says, what the difference between get and chalitza? He says, very pashut. He says, chalitza is e-etcher al yedei shliach. We know it's a basic assumption all over Shas. You can't send a shliach to do chalitza for you, even though get is efcher al yedei shliach, right? The husband can send a shliach to divorce his wife, and the wife can send a shliach to receive the get from her husband. No problem. However, chalitza, the Gemara says explicitly in Ksubas Ayin Dal and many other places, you can't send a shliach to do chalitza. You need to actually be there with your own body. Chalitza is e'af shal shliach, so godol amal gabav doesn't work. Doesn't work. However, ksivas aget, of course that's e'af shal shliach. All of divorce is e'af shal shliach from beginning to end, including Sivas Aget, right? The husband could say, deliver this get to my wife as my shliach. He could say, write the get and deliver it as my shliach. He could say, write it as my shliach. All the parts of the divorce process are motel yedei shliach. And as a matter of fact, in 99.999% of the cases, you do Sivas Aget al yedei shliach. What are the odds? The husband's going to write his own get, you know, unless he happens to be a sofer, right? Everyone does it al yedei shliach. So, says the Ravina Yonah, that Sivas Aget is efsher al yedei shliach, and therefore gadol omen al gabav mehani. Okay, now we just have to figure out exactly what he means by this, right? So this is the famous shita of Rabbeinu Yonah, quoted in these three places in the Rishonim. What's shot of this Rabbeinu Yonah? Why does it care if it's efshar al yedei shliach or not? Okay, so the Rashba explains a little. He says, "Shekol davar." I'm reading from the Chidushim and Chulin. She'efshar la'asos al yedei shliach havi amida al gabav. By the way, there's one other answer. It's 12:55, but just to know that we're not finished, so someone won't accuse me of cheating. There's one last answer, which is the Ramban in most places in Shas and the Ritva. And it's not in the round in the back of the Gemara on the Rift for some reason, and the Chidushi Aran. Okay, we'll have to get to that also. But let's stick with Rabbeinu Yonah. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what's up, shot? Says Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's read the Rashba. Shekol davar she'efshal asosol yedei shliach havi amida al gabav kavanas ha'ose umidin shlichas. That whoever's the gadol is standing there and has kavana works within shlichos of al davar she'ev shal asosu de shliach afamidas ben das al gabav lo malav lo morida b'makom shetzarech kavana v'hilka chalitza she'ev shal asosu de shliach l'mahani amidas bezin al gabav gabav v'hainu tam neshol shal shalitza sopsula v'l get she'ev shal limno shlich l'ksivas again al kavanas ksivas shmo shma v'yav zesh omen al gabav k'shlich amun alichtov u'lechavein b'ksivas. Okay, what does the Rashba say? The Rashba says here he has a fundamental chakira, and has a fundamentally different way of understanding Godol Omen al Gabav than everyone else. Right? A fundamentally different way of understanding Godol Omen al Gabav than everyone else. How does everyone else understand Godol Omen al Gabav? Let's read in Tosfos. I can't prove to you everyone else, but that seems to be the general assumption. I'll read to you from Tosfos here. How does Tosfos describe what Godol Omen al Gabav is? He's not trying to answer anything or say anything. He's just stop explaining. How does he explain Pashup Shat? He says, if you listen, Gadol Omen al Gabav umelamdo umazhiro lasos lishma. The Gadol stands on top of the Chirshot V'Katan and teaches him and commands him to do it lishma. Meaning, how does Gadol Omen al Gabav work? The Gadol educates the Chirshot V'Katan to do it lishma. Chirshot V'Katan normally doesn't have da'as and can't have kavana. But if you remind them and you educate them, they can have kavana. What does it mean, remind and educate? It doesn't mean you tell them today and then they have kavana next week. No, for that you need to be a gadol. Only a gadol bar das, if I tell you something today, you'll understand it and implement it next week. But even a chirshot v'katan, if I stand on top of you right now and I tell you, have in mind this and do it for that, and this is what you should be thinking, then even a chirshot v'katan, if I sit there and I literally like hold his hand, his mental hand as it were, and I remind him exactly what to think, I can help him have the right thoughts and have kavana. So the way Tosfos says, Gadol Aman Al Gabav, is the gadol helps the katan have kavana. Rabbeinu Yonah understands fundamentally differently. And then you have to give any of these myriad, I don't remember how many, technical answers to explain the stira between Gittin versus Chalitza and Gittin versus Shchita. However, Rabbeinu Yonah has a fundamentally different way of understanding how Gadol Aman Al Gabav works. Fundamentally different way of understanding. It's not that the gadol helps the katan have kavana. No, the katan can't have kavana. A katan is mufka from kavana. A katan is halakhically not a bardas. His kavana doesn't count as kavana. Rather, the katan does the maisa, and the gadol has the kavana, and the kavana of the gadol works even though the katan did the maisa. For Ibn Yonah, the chiddush is you can split the kavana and the maisa. The katan, the chirshot v'katan does the maisa, and the gadol bardas does the kavana, and even though it's split in two, that still works. That's the chiddush of gadol aman al gabav, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. Totally different way of understanding gadol aman al gabav. Now we understand the inyan of shlichus. If the gadol was explaining to the katan what to do, who cares if it's efshalji shlich or not? The gadol, either the gadol can educate the katan and help him think, or the gadol can't educate the katan and help him think. What does that have to do with shlichus? But if you understand, no, the gadol is having kavana while the katan does the maisa, you can split the kavana and the maisa, then, the Rabbeinu Yonah makes a lot of sense. How can I split the kavana and the maisa? Who says that? What do you split the kavana and the maisa? Let me give you a reductio ad absurdum. Some katan bakes matzah in a matzah factory in Beit Shemesh. But, and he doesn't have kavanah, it's not l'shma. But no problem whatsoever. I mean, that was the case with Shot Rashba. No problem whatsoever. There's some adult Jew who's a ben da'as in Australia who gets up that morning and says, I have a feeling there's a katan baking in Beit Shemesh. I'm mechaving that it's l'shma. Of course that doesn't work. That's ridiculous, right? Because the kavanah needs to be mitzura to this maisa. The kavana needs to be connected to this maisa. The kavana needs to be mitzuref. What makes this kavana relevant? What makes this gadol special? What gives this gadol the right that his kavana affects this chefza? If you're doing the maisa, I understand why your kavana is relevant. You're doing the maisa. You're the baldover. Your kavana is relevant. But if you're just standing by, then what makes your kavana relevant? And the Rabbeinu Yonah says, what makes your kavana relevant? Shlichas, you have to be authorized to have this kavana in Gittin. The Baal authorizes you. The Baal says, you adult, take you kid, you adult, you can think, but you don't have good handwriting. You kid have beautiful penmanship, but you're not old enough to think properly. So go do it together, partnership. You'll have kavana and you'll do the mice and it'll work. And therefore, the Gadol's kavana counts because he is shayach to this action. He is shayach to this action because the Baal appointed him. As opposed to Chalitza, there is no shlichas for Chalitza. No one can make you a shliach for Chalitza. Therefore, you can't say anyone appointed me to have the kavana, because there is no shlichas for Chalitza. And therefore, since there's no shlichas for Chalitza, the katan did the Chalitza, the gadol might have sat there with kavana, but the gadol is not relevant. The gadol's kavana is not relevant to this action because he's not shayach to this action. He's not connected to this action. It's very nice that he stands in a certain place. It's very nice that he talks a lot. It's very nice that he pats the katan on the back. But that's not a halachic connection. And that's the chaf of Rabbeinu Yonah. If the gadol is having a separate kavana, then he needs some way to be mitzaref that kavana to the maaseh. And the only way to be mitzaref that kavana to the maisa is if it's something which efshar al yidei shliach, and therefore he can be the shliach for kavana, and that's what he, and that's exactly The af zeh, but when it comes to get, after lim no shliach l'ksivas get l'kavanas ksivas shmul shma. By get, the husband can make a shliach for writing and for kavana. So you can also make one shliach for writing and a different shliach for kavana. Af zeh shom al gabav k'shliach mon alich tov l'cham mitzim baso. That this guy's omen al gabav is like a shliach who's appointed to write and have kavana. I understand he doesn't write; he only has kavana. But since he's appointed, it is relevant, and that is a fundamentally different way of looking at, gadol omen al gabav. Which leads Rabbi Yona to his pshat. The very, very fundamental difference between, and we're going to have to come back to this a little later, but the very fundamental difference between the two versions of Rabbi Yona, between the Shut Rashba's version. By the way, what was the Shut Rashba's kasha? Shut Rashba's a shut. Someone asked him, can you hire a katan in a matzah bakery and have a gadol omen al gabav? Right? Have the mashgiach omen al gabav and say, l'shei matzah's mitzvah. Remember l'shei matzah's mitzvah? Yes, l'shei matzah's mitzvah. Can that work with Gadol Omen Al Gabav to have Kavanah for Matzah Lishma? And says the Rashba, according to Ben Yonah, he says, absolutely not. Because he says, and he's Medayik for a Piyot, and he says, no, because Chalitza is Iafshar Gishliach, and he says, likewise, 1 second. Okay, I take that back, actually. It's a little more complicated. Yeah. Let me come back to that, because this depends on the two versions of Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, the hour is a little late. Let me just briefly introduce. Where does Shechita fit in? Is Shechita something that's Efshar Yidei Shliach, or is Shechita something that's Efshar Yidei Shliach? On the one hand, Shechita is Efshar Yidei Shliach. I can send anyone to Shecht. Anyone could Shecht. I mean, what do you mean anyone can shecht? Of course, you need permission from the owner. Otherwise, you're a goslin. But anyone can shecht. Doesn't have to be one person like chalitza. On the other hand, it's not really shlichas, because you don't need to be a shliach of a certain person to shecht. Anyone can shecht. Meaning, chalitza is mamish eifshal yidei shliach. It has to be the yavam and no one else. Get is mamish eifshal yidei shliach. It has to be someone sent by the husband. Shechita and matzah are a little in between. It could be anyone, but they don't need to be appointed. You can't appoint someone to shecht, because anyone's allowed to shecht. And therefore, in the one, it's efshar yidei shliach. Anyone can shecht. Anyone could send anyone to shecht. On the other, and it's not really chalosh shlichus, because if anyone can shecht, then you don't need to be a shliach. Anyone can't divorce my wife. Only my shliach can. And that's the difference between the formulation of the Rashba, of the Chiddushi Rashba, and the... And the Shut Rashba, where does Shechita fit in? According to the Chidushi Rashba, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that's Efshar Al Yidei Shliach. That's Efshar Al Yidei Shliach. Why? Because no one is the Bailam over Shechita. Even though someone owns the animal, no one's the Bailam over Shechita. Therefore, no one has the right to appoint anyone to be a Shochet. Whoever Shecht, Shechts. Whoever doesn't Shecht is irrelevant. Because there's no one who's in charge of appointing you. On the other hand, in the Shut Rashba, again, it's quoting the same Rabbi Yonah. He says, nope. This is called Efshar Yidei Shliach. Because anyone can send anyone to Shecht. It's a little funny. Like, I can send you to Shecht. I can appoint you to Shecht. But it's not a halachically significant appointment. Therefore, there are two different versions. According to Chiddushi Rashba, he used it to answer, and then it answers the stira. Right? According to Chiddushi Rashba, it answers the stira. Because since it's Efshar Yidei Shliach, Gadol Omen Al Gabav doesn't work, because no one is authorized to appoint you. According to Shut Rashba, this doesn't answer the Stira. You'll have to answer it a different way, because anyone can appoint you to Shecht. So here it's funny, like, there's not one person who's in charge of appointing to Shecht, but anyone can Shecht. So you could view that as everyone has the right to make everyone Shaykh, or you could view that as no one has the right to make anyone Shaykh. Okay, matzah goes with this, by the way. Anyone can bake any matzah, right? You don't need any particular appointment, but anyone could do it. So that's why, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah in the version of Chiddushi Rashba, then a Chayr Shot Bekatan can't bake matzah with Gadol Omen Al Gabav, because there's no one to appoint the Gadol. According to the version of Shut Rashba, he can. Someone can. The Gadol can appoint himself. The Gadol can say, let's together, I will send you to the action, I will send myself, I will put myself in charge of this. There's someone who can make him shaykh. Since he could shecht, he can bake matzah, he can appoint himself to think for the matzah. Okay, in the end, the Shut Rashba says, well, if you take the Shut Rashba version of Rabbeinu Yonah, then a katan can bake matzah with adult supervision. But if you take Tosfos, who said it has to do with whether it's muchach mitoch maisav, there's no muchach mitoch maisav in baking matzah, just because he bakes flat bread. How does that prove that he wanted to save it from chimots and use it for a mitzvah? And therefore, it would not be good. Okay, we'll have to pick up Amir Tzashem. We'll come back to this a little later, and we'll pick up with Ramban, Ritva, and Chidush Ran. I still owe you an explanation for the halfway question on the Rambam and a little bit on the Ri as well. Amir Tzashem next time, and we'll also go weiter and talk about Akma Daite Denafshi Kavit. Anyone have any questions? Now's a great
yes.
time to ask.
I don't understand. There's a concept of when somebody can be motzi somebody for a mitzvah, you say, if the mitzvah can be by shlichus, they could be motzi. Because that's a philosophical. But over here, we're talking about the shlichus because shlichus has to be two sided. When you make a shliach, the shliach has to be someone who can be makabel shlichus. And over here, if you say the guy's not a bardas, how can he be makabel shlichus?
That is a good question. That's a little bit Tosa's question in the middle of that Dibur Maskel on Chaf Bezim and Bez, who says, how can the Chereshim Chatan be a Shliach if you need Shlichos to write the get? Tosa says it must be that it doesn't mean Mamish Shlichos, it just means something that is Lashma that's a little similar to Shlichos. Maybe, maybe not. So the answer is, the answer is, we'll get back to that next time and the time after, Amir Tzashem.
Okay, thank you.
Is Avela's quick Avela's question?
Well, see if anyone else has getting questions. Anyone else have a getting question?
Yeah. Mentioned the Tosfos about Lavmei Shlichos Ninu. Abstractly, isn't the idea of Tosfos very similar to the one of the Rabbeinu Yonah?
Because
Tosfos is talking about that. The tzibah is not an act of shlichus, and the baal supplies the shlichus by the tzibui to the sofer. The baal supplies the lishma, I mean.
See what you're saying. Okay, we have to understand the Tosfos a little better. Give me another shiur or two, and then we'll see if we address it. I think we'll have addressed it.
They're different, different perspectives, but abstractly they have a similar...
Correct. But we'll have to figure out exactly. Yeah, I agree. But we'll have to define that a little more precisely.
What would the din be by according to Rabbeinu Yonah by Gadol Shomed al Gabav the Kapan? Incidentally, he wasn't appointed.
Let's say by get, if he wasn't appointed by the husband, then it's for sure no good. No good.
Even according to Rabbeinu Yonah.
The husband appointed the katan to write a get. And then a gadol came and tried to have some kavana and help him out in the Omen al Gabo. According to Tosos, that would work because the gadol can help the katan have kavana. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it wouldn't work because the gadol's not authorized. Pashut, it wouldn't work.
Uh huh. Okay.
I think. To me, it's punch and it wouldn't work.
Okay.
Well, I've got here, Rebbe, I've got from the Kilas Yaakov, he asks as a kusha, Shinken Tzorek Shabal Yimanesa Godol Hol Meidol Gabe Akotam, but lo mashma bigmora kei.
So I'll say it is mashma.
Okay, it's okay by me. By me or dubis good.
Okay. Well, we'll get into it a little more next time, but doesn't bother me. Shmuel.
You basically say, according to the Chiddush Rashba, that in, when it comes to Shechita, if Shar Shelo Al Yedei Shaliach, and when it comes to Kedivah the Gate, Lo If Shar Shelo Al Yedei Shaliach, that's only something that the Baal agrees to.
Correct. Right. Correct. I agree. Nice formulation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
One question.
Yes.
Just a suggestion. Maybe we could differentiate between Gittin and Shchita and Chalitza on the basis of what's the nature of the Kavana. The nature of the Kavana in Gittin is different from Shchita and Chalitza. In Shchita and Chalitza, you need Kavana as part of the process. It's a requirement of the process. Gittin, the Kavana is only so that we know that this is a get. We look at the object, and that's what we're focused on. Is this...
Hold on. Irv, you're cheating. That's exactly the Ramban and the Ritva and the Chiddush Ran that we're going to have to get to.
Sorry.
So you're right. That's okay. Next on our agenda. We just didn't get to it yet.
Okay. And that's what Tosfos may be referring to when Muchach Mitoch Ma'asav. You look at the object. It's Muchach Mitoch Ma'asav, which we don't say for the others for exactly that reason.
That I'm not as convinced by. The Tosfos sounded more practical. Like, do we see that he's really understands what he's doing or not? Right. I have to think about whether that's a possible shot in Tosfos. It might be creative. But let me think about it.
Okay.
Rebbe? Okay.
Yes.
Rebbe? Yeah.
Yes,
Abi showed me this morning from Rabbi Rabinovich, that's how, that from the Yad Pshuta, that the Rambam's Lashon, if you look at the Rambam, there's in Perek Gimel Halacha Zion, that there's actually two completely different versions of the Rambam and Tofsa Gittin. The first version is similar to what he has in the Perush HaMishnah. That's one version. And Rabinovich goes through, from Mordechai Akiva Friedman, and who has a version from the Geniza. And then there's the version that we have in our printed versions. So there's a history behind the Rambam also. And obviously, how does he work out the Sugya and Chavav? But it's in the Yad Pshuta.
Yes, meaning in terms of which Tana he paskin like on Daf Chava.
Yeah, and does he take into account the Gzeira or the Takona, rather, I meant to say the Takona, or does not take it into account?
Right. You're right, that is a big Indian. I didn't want to get into it now because we're not really on Daf Chava now. Obviously, the version... that says that they were matur with the atakana fits best what he says in our sugya, because if you remember his lashon in our sugya was lo itira lechtov tov seget and shelo lishma lechachila elav bnei takana sofer. So in halacha yirches he makes pretty clear that they were matur to write takana tov se mishum takana sofer, which only matches one of the girtos. Okay, but we'll leave that as maybe. For now, we'll assume the Girsa and Halacha Zayin, which is the most authoritative Girsa, which matches what he writes in Halacha Yedches and Arsugya, and we'll leave the funny Girsa there for another time.
Okay.
All right.
So by a pregnant Aseth Kohen, why don't we say it's Kalavara?